I mean, what's the big deal? They're going to make him king, and isn't Jesus already king? Why doesn't he let them just acknowledge the reality that he's king? I mean, we even have a feast day, Christ the King. But Jesus doesn't let them make him king. It's kind of odd. I mean, when he gets on the cross, he'll have a crown to signify that he is in fact the king. He is our king. But he goes off into the woods. On Friday, got home about 7 o'clock, and I was hungry. And Father Matthew, our brand new associate, who's out visiting the sick tonight, he comes home and he was hungry. Well, lucky for us, there was a leftover tuna steak from the steak fry. And by the way, it was a great steak fry. Why they'd have tuna steak at a steak fry, I don't know. But on Friday, we had it. So he got home, and we scrounged in the cabinet. He made some, we had found some couscous. And so he looked up a recipe how to make couscous. It's really hard. Boil water, add the couscous. And but somehow they'd given us this salt block because it's like the latest fad, I think, in cooking. So we cooked the tuna steak on this salt block. And then we sat on our little veranda overlooking the valley, okay, Blake Road, and we're about to eat. I said, oh, actually, Father Matt said, oh, gotta pray. We prayed. And I said, oh, gotta take a picture. Smile, Father Matthew, took a picture. It's a great meal. And I've had some incredible meals in my life. I mean, there's the meal that Father Neil made once for one of our fundraising events. And the first course was literally one olive, which we ate with a fork and a knife. It was incredible. And then there's a time I had this incredible meal. I was out backpacking with a group of buddies in the Canadian Rockies, and we had backpacked about 10 miles, and at the end of the time, we were setting up our camp, and someone made tuna mac with tuna mac. And the way we ate it, you would think we were eating the most incredible meal ever. And then there's a time I was Thanksgiving, and often on Thanksgiving, I fly home to Chicago, and my brother will pick me up, and we'll go out for dinner. And this particular time, on this particular Thanksgiving, it was just after my father had died, and so I'm having dinner with my brother, his family, myself, and we're at Smith and Walensky's, as we often did, and while the rest of the folks had turkey, my brother and I would have steak. It was great, and of course, at the end of the meal, my dad always paid, or my brother, because they had, like, real money. And this year I said, I'll pay for that. I mean, Dad had left a little money. I said, I'll pay for that. He goes, no, Kevin, you don't want to do that. I said, no, Kiri. And I gave the waitress the credit card. And, well, I'm still making payments on that meal. But in time, the food and what it tastes like fades. What did that steak really taste like? What did that couscous really taste like? What did that tuna mac up in the Canadian Rockies? I don't know what it tasted like anymore. What I do remember are those gathered with me when I had those great meals. Was one of those great meals or simply coffee with someone who's dying? I remember the love and the fellowship, the tears and the laughter, the joy, the sadness, the people. That a meal is so much more than the food. Jesus, he prepares an incredible meal. Out in the middle of nowhere, he prepares this incredible meal. He prepares an incredible meal for hundreds and thousands of people. This incredible meal which comes from literally like nothing, from a few loaves of bread and a couple fish that feeds abundantly this vast crowd of people. because he's inviting those disciples to a new meal. A new meal where it won't simply be this incredible community gathered, but where the food will be Jesus himself. Where the food that we are to eat on is the very flesh of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And to be nourished in that context of this incredible meal. And to receive this meal that will satisfy the deepest longings of our hearts. Because at this meal, we don't simply eat food, but we eat the one who is the food of life, Jesus Christ, who satisfies and who only satisfies the deepest longing of our hearts. For what? For whom do we long for? Hunger for. The Catholic Church, we have a tradition of fasting for an hour before communion. Yep, it's still a rule of the church. When I was a kid, we always were late to Mass. It's usually because we're eating breakfast late. If it was really late, my dad would make us sit in the back row so we wouldn't break the communion fast. And if we were really late, he'd pray that the priest would give a long homily. Those were the days. But what's the purpose of that fast? Is it just so that we don't have bad breath? The purpose of it is so that we attach and realize that this hunger in our belly is meant to enkindle in us a hunger for Jesus Christ. Because we pray with our whole being. We're not angels. We're human beings. And so even our bodies we pray with, and our bodies can remind us of the true hunger that we have, who is Jesus Christ. So I want to invite us to enkindle and renew as we reflect on John chapter 6 over these next several weeks. The gift of the Eucharist, the gift of receiving Jesus Christ himself, so that we'd be fed with God, and we might love like God, we might be nourished with him. See, Jesus did not want to be made king by them, because they wanted to make him king of their stomachs. They wanted to make Jesus king because he satisfied the hunger of their stomach. They said, this is great, let's make him king and we'll never be hungry. But Jesus does not want to be king of your or my stomach. He wants to be king and Lord and friend of our hearts. Let us hunger for Jesus.